Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show's Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. And this is going to be such a fun interview, so I'm excited to welcome the program first. Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you?
I'm great.
And a surprise interview for a Friday. I texted you, said, hey, we've been working on this guy for a while, and it's an honor to have him on the show, so go ahead and introduce our guest.
Well, he's best known by being on Sanford and Son, the son of Fred Sanford, Lamont, and his name is Demond Wilson. Welcome to the show, Demond.
Thank you. Pleasure to be there. Spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh. Did a lot of plays there. Did some meetings in Pittsburgh, so I'm very familiar. Mel Blunt is a personal friend of mine.
Really? Okay. I've interviewed Mel. He's a great guy. Fantastic. Yeah. So that's what I saw from your team telling me that. I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Yeah. We're nationally syndicated all over the place. Dave's right now in California and I'm in Pittsburgh, but we have television in Pittsburgh. Plus we have radio in Pittsburgh, but also all over the world. So we're excited.
Yeah. I got the 411 on who you are and what you do.
All right. Awesome. All right, Dave, go ahead and ask the first question.
Well, I'm just curious. How did you become an actor?
Started on Broadway at the age of 4.5, 5.
Mm, wow.
Really? Wow. So how did that develop? Did your family want you to get involved in starting at 4 and 5? How did that process begin?
I was discovered as a child, talented kid. You know, you have talented kids. People recognize that. And I went through various programs and that's how I started.
Oh, that's awesome.
Used to do radio spots on WOR. I was very articulate. Nowadays, they use women to do the voice of children. But in those days, there were some talented kids up in Harlem. I came through the school with Frankie Lyman, Leslie Uggams. So I was doing radio spots, WOR FM, when I was 6.5, 7 years old.
Wow. So how did you finally get the opportunity to do Sanford and Son? Did you know?
I did a spot on All in the Family, which won an Emmy nomination with the late Cleavon Little. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the same producers. John Rich was directing that show, and Norman Lear was exec producer. And they called me up and said, do you want to do a series? And I said, absolutely not. They said, well, we want you to go on All in the Family. And I said, what is that? I've never watched episodical television to this day. I watched it and I said, that show is despicable. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm a stage theater, a theater actor. I mean, a movie theater actor. I had done 2 films. I don't want to do television. And I said, plus the character is despicable. I can't stand it. And they said, well, you and Cleavon Little, who I knew from the theater, play burglars and you break into the bunker home and intimidate Archie. I said, where do I sign? So that's how that happened.
I didn't realize you were on All in the Family first.
I did my homework. I did my homework on you guys. Obviously, you haven't done yours on me.
I like coming up with the open-ended questions, Demond, and that's where we go from it and telling a story. For
sure. No, it's fine. I'm just saying, you know, that's okay. When Mark called me and said, would you like to do an interview? And I said, I get 1,000 emails a day on 2 sites and people want me to be involved in these podcasts. And I tell them, I don't do podcasts. If I do a radio spot, it's usually something that I want to promote. And I said, what are the numbers on these people? And he told me what they were. He told me where you're located. And I said, oh, Pittsburgh. I spent a lot of time there, know a lot of people. Okay, I'll do it. But I never step – I don't go across the street until I know what's on the other side. That's the truth.
And I understand completely. And I like to come up with the open-ended questions in so many ways. And I completely forgot about All in the Family. And so that's how it all started. Yeah.
But you see, when you get my age, I'll be 70. I look 50. I hit a golf ball 290 yards. I'll be 73 in a few weeks. And I'm at the point in my life now where I usually do think and say whatever I feel like saying, as long as it's not detrimental to anybody's health or hurt their feelings, because I have a great love for humanity. But I'm too old to do frivolous things anymore. So my wife always tells me that. She said, everybody's not there, honey. I said, well, they need to catch up.
Okay, so explain how you went from All in the Family, that one episode, to Sanford and Son.
They said to me, this is the number one show. As I said before, I reiterate, it was. Mm-hmm. I found it to be despicable. I found the protagonist to be despicable. The wife was just had an annoying voice. And mm-hmm. I said, I really don't want to do that. And they said, well, you know, you have a theater background that the people know about you out here. I had done a film out here I flew out here to do a film with Sidney Poitier, Raul Julia. Who else was in that? Ron O'Neill, the late Ron O'Neill, who did Superfly. And I got offers. People said, oh, this kid is on the way up. And I said, I don't want to do television because you get pigeonholed, you get typecast.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a habit that I served in Vietnam for 14 months. I'm decorated. People say to me, thank you for your service. I said, get away from me, too little, too late. When I came home, they sat on me and called me a murderer. Now you want to thank me for my service? Take a hike, kick bricks. But I had a habit that I brought back from Vietnam with me, and I needed to feed that habit. It was called eating. That's how I got it. They were paying money, and I needed to eat. So I did it. Who knew? I mean, the thing just blew up all over the place. And then Buddy Yorkin called me up and said, DeMond, do you want to do a series of Red Fox? I said, obviously, you're kidding me. They can't let him on television. I flew to Vegas. The only time you could meet with Red was midnight. He did his midnight show, and Aaron Rubin, God rest his soul, and I sat in his garage at 2 a.m. in the morning, and we hashed it out. It was an adaptation from Steptoe and Son, which is a very popular British show. And they said, okay, we'll utilize you guys' names. Red's name was John Elroy Sanford. His brother's name is Fred. My father's name is Brady Wilson, and that's my legal first name. And Red ran away at the age of 12 and joined a tramp band, and his partner was named Lamont. That was the embarkation. That's where we started.
Was it humbling for you to do that show?
It was. I didn't want to do television. You got to pay rent, you got to eat, you got to pay for a car. I had done a few spots when I finished the film up in San Francisco with Poitier. I did a Mission Impossible, a Mannix. You know, you do all those little shows, but those things pay $600-$800. In those days, my rent, I was on Franklin Avenue right below the Yamashiro and condominiums now at $1 million. And I was paying $100 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, really nice place.
Hmm.
So, $100 48, 49 years ago is the equivalent to $1,000 today.
Yeah. Well, your character was well loved on the show. I sure loved him. I'm sure you got tons of email.
I get 1,000
fan mail is what I meant to say.
I have two websites. I'm maxed out on Facebook. I had 100,000 on Twitter. I got hacked on Twitter, so I don't fool with that anymore. And my IG site is basically my family, so it's a private account.
Mm-hmm.
But they hit me up on my two email. I get 1,000 requests a week for pictures, for letters, for people wanting movies. I just finished writing a piece. I have two books that I've written that are still selling worldwide. The New Age Millennium, an expose of symbol slogans and hidden agendas, which hit the bookshelves when I did Saints and Sinners in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in circa 98. And that's still selling around the world. And then I wrote the book 10 years ago on the series, Second Banana, The Bittersweet Memoirs of Sanford and Son Years, and several scripts from that. And I have a mini-series that I completed about a month and a half ago, and we're going to start production. I want to shoot the pilot before... in the first part of 2020.
Wow. And so all these different things, it's great that you're answering a lot of questions for us even before that, is that you really have continued to keep Sanford and Son alive and what you've done, but ultimately it always goes back to theater, it almost, in a lot of ways.
Well, you know, I can't lay claim to that. It's the fans. I mean, the people around the world. My books sell. I sell in Denmark. I sell in Scotland. I sell in Ireland, all over Canada, because Sanford and Son is in international syndication. So, you know, I'm not, it's the people, the fan base. I was in New York City when my second book came out on Fox News in the morning. And after I did the Fox News spot and announced the book, we went over to was it Rockefeller Center, NBC?
Mm-hmm.
And when the car pulled up, there was about 1,000 people out there, and they I said, my gosh, who are all of these people? These looking people out there. They had albums and buttons and hats and. I said, who are these people? And my PR guy said, those are your fans. I said, you've got to be kidding me. So it's incredible. Red said to me one day, I don't know what led to it. He said, you know something? Long after I'm gone, this show is still going to be kicking ass.
Yep.
And he was absolutely correct, because it still is.
So I'm assuming that you have no regrets for being pigeonholed in television.
I don't have any regrets in life, because I chose everything that I've done in my life. I've been married to the same woman for 46 years. We have
congratulations,
six adult progeny. You can't say adult kids, because that's an oxymoron. We have six. They're all successful, all college graduates. So I'm not one of those people that had to find his way. When I came from Vietnam, my life, my youth was gone. When I went to Vietnam, I dropped out of Hunter College to do a play, a production of whatever it was back in 1965. But I was in the end of my sophomore year. And I had like 2-3 weeks to finish that term. And I said, okay, I'm going to go down to D.C. to the Arena Stage Theater and do this play. You know, there's no problem. A week into rehearsal, my mom called me and she said, you need to come home. I said, well, is there something wrong with Dad? She said, you just need to come home. So I went home, and there was a letter that said, your friends and neighbors have selected you. It appears that every young black man in America was, unless he was claiming to be a Muslim or he became an expatriate, Canada never appealed to me, and going to jail for 6 years didn't. So I went into the military. When I came from Vietnam, not to stray from my point, I was hardened. I couldn't tell anybody about the giant chip on my shoulder, because it was not popular then. You know, patriotism was not America's religion at that time. Because you had a lot of those 60s hippies, and people were marching against it.
Mm-hmm.
So I it took me to, after Sanford and Son, I produced and starred in Baby I'm Back on CBS. And then after that, Ron Glass and I did a run. We did 16 shows with Gary Marshall on for the New Odd Couple, the black version. He played Felix and I was Oscar.
Mm.
And it was in 1982 that I was finally able to come to terms with the things that I saw and felt and I did. I was bottled up. You know, if someone looked at me or said the wrong thing, I was ready to explode. But I was a good actor, so I was able to hold it. And Red knew. He said, DeMond, you can't. Come on now. The war is over. I said, yeah, that's easy to say. For you. I didn't mean to go off on that, Aaron. That's...
anyway, what are your fondest memories of Sanford and Son on the show?
My fondest memories?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any one. It was the relationship that Red and I had. People said, well, you know, did you and Red really get along? And I said, have you watched the show? They said, yeah, I love the show. I said, you cannot act that. If the synergy is not there, it ain't going to work. It's just not. And Red and I, we were simpatico from the night at 2 in the morning we were in the garage. She said, I like this young nigga. He's all right. He said to me, you remind me of Malcolm. Oh, but wow. You ain't got no cause. You need a cause. So Red and I, if they wanted us to do something, they go to Red. They say, Fox, we were thinking about, and he said, go ask my son. If he says, all right, that's what we do.
That's a great impression, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not going to ask you to do the impression of Elizabeth. I'm coming to meet you. So don't worry about that.
No, that's no one else should be doing that. Okay, Dave. Dave, again, is just to let you know a little about Dave, we'll talk about in a second or two. He's a little bit older than I am. I will be kind on that, 46. But one thing I want
to... I got a kid your age.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he does too. Both of them do, because he's in his 70s as well. And my father's...
hey, I'm only 65.
Lamond is in... you're in 60 what?
I'm 65.
65, okay. My father's 91. So I understand he was in the military and Naval Academy. And then in the Navy for X amount of years, so... Thank you for your service, for sure. I just wanted to bring that up. Come on. Now, the question I wanted to ask from when you talk about your relationship with Red Fox and different things like that, what did you learn as an actor working with him? And especially, you know, because in theater, you were trained in specific classically, then you get into the sitcom era and different things with All in the Family and into this.
Yeah, I got it. One of the reasons that they chose me to play opposite Fox, they said, let's get Richard Pryor. And they said, no, you can't put two comedians together. In order to make a comedy series with two protagonists, if one is a comedian, you got to have a stand-up guy. You got to have a straight man. Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin. You can go on Dan Rowan and Dick Martin. You have to have a straight guy. Abbott and Costello.
His mother's brothers.
And the thing that's significant for a straight man is timing. And they said, this kid is theater trained, but his timing is impeccable. And Red and I we were always simpatico because he would do his, I would lay the straight line out and he would come in with his nuttiness. Now, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis is the perfect example. You know, you got to have the straight guy to control the nutcake. And Red was calling me the dummy, but he was the dummy and he was the nutcake. So in order to have control over the nutcake, you had to have a straight guy. That was the role Lamont had. He was the handler. Pop, stop it. Knock it off. Hey, Pop, dig yourself. Why are you doing this? Stop it. So, you know, Red liked my timing, and that is the reason that I was hired to do it. And people send me letters. They say, "You're the best straight man since Dean Martin."
Yeah, wow. I agree. So, what are your current projects?
My wife, I can be funny, but that's not my thing. And to answer your question before I go off subject,
go ahead.
I didn't learn anything from Red about acting. Red learned from me about acting. When the relationship started, Red couldn't remember five lines in succession. I have a photographic memory. I would read the script that we were going to do that morning. We'd go to lunch. When we came back from lunch, I had it committed to memory 85%. And it used to drive him up the wall. Red used to have to write notes on the doors, on the table, on the doorway of the kitchen, when he would go, so he could read his lines. And I would go around 10 minutes before tape and change them around.
And I assume he would do a lot of improv as well when he couldn't remember his lines.
No improv with three cameras. No improv.
Really? Yeah,
three and one covering it. You have a camera blocking day and every line has to be in a place or you miss the shot. Mm. So there's no improv. He was not doing stand-up comedy. This was a situation comedy. It wasn't even, you know, you can do a little bit of improv if you have a sketch comedy show such as In Living Color, Ronnie Mars, Lab Man.
Did he mess up a lot?
What do you mean mess up? Drop lines?
With his, I
told you.
Forget his lines, and they'd have to stop. Let's do that over again. Blah blah blah.
You don't do it that way. He would tape paper and spots where you couldn't see on the camera with his lines on them. That's what I'm saying. When he sat down in his chair to look at the television set, there was lines written on paper big enough for him to see on the screen of the television. If we were going upstairs, the lines were there. Some things he could remember, but a whole lot of stuff read just. Then he had time to study, because as soon as the show was over on Friday night, he'd fly to Vegas and work.
Hmm.
He had a helicopter pad up on the roof of NBC, and Red was out. He had the midnight show, two shows on Saturday, two on Sunday, and back on Monday in time for rehearsal. So when you block a show like that, it's almost in concrete. The stuff you miss when you finish taping, because the tape is like a play. You don't stop when you're doing a play. Somebody flubs a line, you keep on going. And then after the show, we did a dinner show, and then we did a second show.
Mm.
And if Red dropped any lines, then you did, after the audience was gone, what you call pickups.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to attain that same energy level, which was very difficult, because you get a lot of energy from a crowd, as you probably well know.
Sure. I'm sure you got great contracts where you're getting great residuals in perpetuity.
Is an elephant heavy?
Is the Pope Catholic?
I don't know about him, but he might or might not be. I've heard some things, I'm just saying. But I think we all agree that an elephant is hefty.
Yes. Definitely.
All right. Current projects.
Yeah. So Lamont, current project.
Lamont, one more time. You're going to hear a click.
Yeah, he did it that time.
Like
that.
Lamont, I'm sorry. He didn't hear current projects, man. Current projects.
I'm sorry.
Current projects are going on with you. Things you want to promote. You talked about how the book is going to be going into, different production. What current things are you doing that your fans?
I said before, you probably were overlooked that. I've just finished writing a miniseries, and I'm looking to go into production with it in the early part of 2020. That's all I'm going to say about it at this point.
Okay. Anything else? I know you talked about that, but anything else?
Headed to Atlantic City to the big convention in October. And a whole lot of other stuff, you know, book signings and stuff like that. And I sell probably 25 books a month on the series, on the second banana of the bittersweet memoirs of the Sanford and Son years. It's been selling like that for like 10 years. It's a coffee table sized book. It's glossy cover. It does have pictures in it for the reading impaired, but mostly. That's a joke, but mostly it's about things about the series behind the camera that the public never knew.
Oh.
No, it's not a tell-all. It's a tell-something. Right. It's a tell-something. A lot of funny anecdotes about Red in there, stuff that I can't say over the airway, or you people will either get taken off the air or fined.
And we don't want that. We definitely don't want that. And I appreciate. No,
I could tell you in person, but then I'd have to kill you.
Well, I don't want that either. So I'm 6'10". So we have to definitely meet if you ever come out. So you do those Comic Cons and stuff for your fans.
You said you.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. You said you were 6'10".
Yes. Yes, sir.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Former professional wrestler. I was played college basketball and I'm a former pro wrestler.
Where'd you go?
I played basketball Division III at Western Maryland. Then I went on to become a professional wrestler and wrestled in the minor leagues. Jerry King, Lawler, Rock, all those guys before The Rock was The Rock and stuff.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Now that's a diverse resume.
Yeah. And I'm a former teacher and, and now do social media branding. Couldn't
hold a job, huh?
Right. I continue to move into different things every day. You're right. You sound like my wife now. Okay, Dave, go ahead with the last question that we ask all our guests. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I also have been married about 45 years or so. My wife, 22 years ago, had a headache that she it just wouldn't go away, and it turned into a stroke, and she lost her speech, became paralyzed on the right side. And we worked through it and grief period and all of that. Now we travel the country just sharing our story to other caregivers, helping them to stay alive, because AARP says 30% of them die before their loved ones do. So my question to you is, what personal experience have you had with caregiving as far as, you know, your parents perhaps? And I have this site, caregiverdave.com, just to help caregivers stay alive. So what's your experience with caregiving?
Well, my mother, God rest her soul, passed away the same year that Red Fox passed away. And my dad, they had been married for 65 years, passed away. Wow. 14 months after that. But because I was able to do that, my mother had a private duty nurse that used to come in the morning, and then she'd stay. She would get there at 6 a.m. and she would stay till noon, and then another nurse would come until my mother had her dinner, was bathed, and went to bed. My mother, she passed away. She had Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah, my mother too.
But I saw her in the hospital in New York. I'm from New York. She, actually, I'm not from New York, because I left New York when I was 19, and I came back from Vietnam. I worked on Wall Street for a minute, and and I went back to the theater. So I've lived in California longer than I've lived anywhere. But caregiving, I don't really, you know, my wife and I are active seniors. My wife has a stationary bike in her room. I have a Peloton in my room. We ride 5 miles a day. Like I said before, I reiterate, I hit a golf ball about 285, 290 if I catch it. So we're very active people. We're not, my wife has a little bit of a hearing problem. But other than that, we got a little aches and pain. My wife has Crohn's. She's lived with that.
Mm.
She had that when I met her, and there's no cure for it. But if you properly
manage
it. I'm a vegan. My wife is a pescatarian. Is that what it is? Pescatarian. People that eat fish or don't eat fish or something like that. She doesn't eat. I never eat pork. That's a nasty, foul animal. I don't eat red meat. I've been a vegetarian since 84. I've been a vegan probably going on 10 years now.
Oh my, wow.
So we don't put poison in our body. Very little you can buy in a supermarket is healthy. I don't eat processed food. I don't eat white bread, sugar, flour. When you get older, you know, you can have one of those muscle cars that's a 1962 or a 1957, but you can't drive it like you do a new car today. You got to take care of it.
Yeah. You know, the internet says that you had become a pastor after Sanford and Son.
Never,
you didn't mention any of that. Was that true?
I was never a pastor. I was an evangelist.
An evangelist.
An itinerant minister. I overseed about three or four organizations, but I moved away from that whole church religion thing because it was not the way that I ministered was not in keeping with some of these pimps. Pastors that are Freudian that are fleeced.
Freudian slip, yes.
I would go into a meeting and I would say, okay, everybody in here today after the invocation. I would say, I want to see the hands of everybody in here who has made a commitment, not to your pastor, not to this church, but a commitment to Yahweh, the Elohim, the creator of all things visible and invisible. If you made a commitment to him and his son, Yeshua Messiah, in your heart has been circumcised, and you've been there for 5 years, raise your hand. They would raise their hand. 10 years, raise your hand. They would raise your hand. 15 years, raise your hand. They raise your hand. 20 or more, and those are the people that would raise their hand and cheer and stand up and applaud, and I'd say, okay, sit down. What the hell are you doing in here then? You're still coming in here in elementary school, kindergarten through six. Show me in the Old or the New Testament. I'm a historian of the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I know about all of these deities that the Hollyweird community. Hollywood is a stick that you cast spells with. So the people were not willing to hear what I had to say. You got all of these people in so-called royal blood. These people are pedophiles and drink blood. It's just terrible. So I said, why did you leave Hollywood? And I said, I can't be in that filth. That is filthy. Yeah.
Nobody talks about that. You're right.
This project that I'm doing now, I'm going to say that I am not going to be out front with it. You're not going to see, I don't have a huge ego. I know who I am and I know whose I am. And I'm not going to be out there fronting somebody. I said, well, DeMartin, why don't you be? I said, no, I don't want to be in front of the camera. No, 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 no. They said, but you look great. I said, it has nothing to do with that. I'm not even going to put DeMartin Wilson Productions on there. I'm going to put small letters, DW Enterprises Productions.
Oh, my.
That's all. Wow. I want to be behind the scene. I don't want to be in front. I want to own it. I'm a boss.
BOS. Okay. We can tell. You definitely do what you say and stick to it for sure. Best place we can find information on you, purchase your books, learn more about you. Where can we go?
Yeah, you can go on lowercase letters, DeMartinWilson.org.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time. Say hello to Pittsburgh. Say hello to everywhere and taking the time to talk about everything. And I appreciate all the time. And thanks for calling.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. I'm sorry that I'm in the middle of production, but you know I'm kind of
that's no problem.
No worries. You know, my head is in that. So you know.
I understand. No problem. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see it. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.